The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of On to the Next One. The matchmaking hats are back on after a week off, and following the UFC's most recent pay-per-view offering, UFC 287, which went down Saturday night in Miami, Florida, we have a new, or shall I say once again, middleweight champion of the world. We are talking about a company with one less welterweight on its roster, and a whole bunch of other highlights and discussion points to talk about from a matchmaking perspective. But I am Mike Heck. Thank you for joining us. I know typically we go live after an event like this, but I'll get into that a little more in a moment before we get to the matchmaking. But more importantly than that, let me introduce the co-host, the co-matchmaker, and the best friend to us all. He is the Prince of Positivity. He is Alexander Cayley. AK, how are you, my friend?
Oh, hello, my best friend. I'm feeling particularly positive this fine morning as we record this show. I really enjoyed Saturday's card. I didn't really have a pre-show, you know, whatever gymnastics rating. I would have set it pretty high. I think on paper, it was a strong card, also with compelling storylines. There was a lot of sort of older generation versus up and comers, which you know was always interesting. And it kind of went. I would say it went both ways. You had some of the fighters sort of projected to do big things in the future coming out strong, and you had some of them, one of whom we'll talk about a bit more later, I'm sure. Some of them coming out a little flat, maybe raising some questions as to how ready they are for the big show. But we had a really exciting main event. I thought the co-main was fine. It wasn't like a great fight, but there was some drama to it all throughout, I thought. And a lot of people overperformed, I thought. Overperformed, I think, better than people expected, which I think is great. So, loved Saturday's card. Where it sends us matchmaking-wise is a little funky, and I think that's indicative also of the build up to this card. We just had so many questions. And even though the Izzy Pereira feud has kind of been answered, what's next for both guys, I don't think is super clear, but I'd love to see where you landed on that.
Yes. AK, if you could turn your mic up just a tad.
Let's turn it up.
Settings we had. It's all right.
Let's turn up the volume. Bam.
That's better.
How's that? Oh, boy. Okay.
Much better. You sound like an angel right now, so thank you very much. Again, I am in New York City right now, so I don't have my usual setup. And like I said, normally we go live. It's very strange. Felt good all week. I had to put that feature together, which took up like so much time, and then just going through like my normal day-to-day activities, and then get through Friday, host the shows, go to the gym Friday evening, and right before I started working out, I just felt my body collapse. It just completely shut down on me. It was a very strange feeling. My body was literally telling me, you need to go home and lay down and not do anything else. And of course, my stubborn ass was like, nah, I can do this workout. I'll get through it. And I did, because I don't listen to Joe Rogan very much, but Joe Rogan says when you have the battle with the inner bee, you have to try to defeat it. And I tried to defeat it, and it was a terrible choice. And I went home, and I just felt like I had the flu, but I wasn't sick. It was just a very strange feeling where my body just shut down. And I woke up Saturday morning not feeling great and hopped on a plane, came here, slept on the airplane, which I never do, and then got to the hotel. Normally I would get a workout in, but I was like, nope, not doing that. Went, fell asleep for a few hours, woke up, did the watch party. I was feeling pretty bad towards the end of it. Probably like the last 2.5 fights, I was really feeling it. And I just battled through, and it just hasn't gotten much better. I feel a little worse today than I did yesterday, but I didn't want to not do a show, but I just didn't want to do it live because of all the chaos and everything that was going on.
Of course. I'm not a doctor, but that is exhaustion, my friend. That is exhaustion. Yes. You've been gripping it and ripping it with MMA fighting for so long. You really, and now with this whole CrossFit Mike thing going, you've really been living that 25-8 Corey Anderson lifestyle. So now you know what it's like. You know, a lot of people made fun of Corey Anderson. Oh, beast in 25-8, like whatever, anyone could do it. Well, listen, Mike, you're a spectacular man, but you are human. And I hope you're feeling better after today. And I think the listeners and fans will understand not getting a live show. They wouldn't want you to do that if you weren't at your best. I also imagine you're feeling a little bit like some of the fighters from Saturday after the first 5 minutes of their fight. We saw some exhaustion. We saw some gas tanks tested. So I guess you can relate to that now.
Yes. Well, let's get into this. Enough about me. Let's talk about the main event. Let's talk about Israel Adesanya. He goes out. Fun fight with Alex Pereira. Very compelling throughout the entire thing. Like I said during the watch party, I kind of had Ngannou, Stipe Miocic 1 vibes, where I just felt like something bizarre and chaotic could happen at a moment's notice. And lo and behold, it did. It looked like Alex Pereira was inching in to end the fight like he did at UFC 281. Had Adesanya against the cage. He was ripping to the body, landing big shots. And then Adesanya lands a massive defensive overhand counter right, and then lands another one and just deads Alex Pereira, knocks him unconscious on the mat, and he's once again the middleweight champion of the world. And to me, this seems very obvious, AK, of what we should do here, but it seems like not everybody is on board with this idea, because I feel like we have to run this back. I feel like we have to do the trilogy, but Izzy doesn't seem all that interested in it, thinks that he already exercised the demons, that Pereira should go back to the drawing board, win a fight or two, and then earn his way back. Dana White said, look, I'm not saying this, so don't say that Dana White says this is what's happening, but he would be shocked if Pereira doesn't go up to 205, because that is a massive weight cut, and that is obviously something that would be a concern as well. It's something we've been talking about for a while. Pereira is not a human being. He is just a massive individual, but to me, AK, until I hear the words from Alex Pereira's mouth that he's moving up to 205, this is the fight. This is the fight. We run it back. Not anytime soon. We don't need to do it like in the next 2 or 3 months, but November, December, I think we have to do it one more time. I think we're running. This is not a back pocket fight to me. It is in some ways, but just physically, I just don't think it's a back pocket fight. And if Pereira is going to make that cut, he's only going to be able to do it one more time, and it's got to happen next. Otherwise, it's just going to have to be a very strange road to get there. Like, Pereira's going to have to go to 205, win the title. Izzy's going to have to just run through everybody else in this division and make the decision to go up to 205, and he'd probably get an immediate title shot. But I think the luster of this could be gone by then, because it could take a while. So my vote, we just run it back. We do the trilogy. Pereira, I apologize. I know that weight cut's tough, but your bank account will thank you. What do you think?
I intentionally went away from this suggestion, not because I hate it. I'd be totally fine with a running back with these two. The drama that these two create is just amazing. The contrast of personalities, their styles when they enter the cage, the results of their now four previous fights. It's compelling stuff. It's compelling stuff. There's really not a great reason not to do it other than like, oh, like you said, Izzy said, I just don't want to keep fighting the same guy over and over again. You know, I don't know how many fights I have left in my career. I want to face new challenges. And I'm sure out of UFC, I guess, depending how much business this event does, I don't know how high they'll be on it, but I don't see why they wouldn't. They love booking rematches. I mean, for goodness sake, Mike, we're getting Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena 3. If we're getting three of those fights in a row, I think people should be okay with Israel Adesanya and Alex Pereira three times in a row. Apples and oranges comparison. I'm making a broad kind of gag there, but the optics just look bad if we book that trilogy title fight, and then we don't, and then now people are like, oh, but we can't do Adesanya versus Pereira 3. No, listen, if we're doing one, it's one certainly is possible. So I do like it. I don't know if Izzy should have the final say and saying like, oh, this feud is over, because again, that one and one in MMA, throwing the kickboxing, that storyline is still there and it's just so fun to watch them. So I went away from it. I think you'll hate my pick for Adesanya, and I think you'll love my pick for Pereira, though. These are my non-trilogy picks. For Izzy, first of all, I wish he'd just do a random sojourn up to light heavyweight like, Anderson Silva used to do when he had no obvious challenge at 185, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think if Izzy goes up, it's only to fight for a title. Jurgis Duplessis is the right way to go, but he just hasn't earned it yet. He needs one more win, so that's perfect. That could lead to some ugly trash talk. There's some nationalistic stuff going down there, but there's drama. It'd be a great fight. It's fine. I'll go Magic Wand, and I'll shout out one Mr. Jan Blachowicz, who was very smart to immediately jump onto Twitter after and say, hey, let's do the rematch. I'll drop down to 185. I don't think he ever has, as far as I could tell. I'm pretty sure he's fought 205 and above his entire career. I don't think it's unreasonable. I'm sure if it was just for the one fight, he could do it. But I'm interested. So this is Magic Wand. This is he can make 185 comfortably, and we get that rematch. And I don't know. Does that tickle your fancy at all, Mike?
I love the call out. It's just if Jan went, like, what good does this do for the UFC if Jan wins and he's only going to do it once? Then we just vacate the belt, and then Pereira's out of the division too. Like, it just seems. I don't know. I'd rather see Pereira fight Blachowicz at 205.
That too was I thought of. Yes, that too I thought of. But it's tough for Izzy though, because like you said, other than the trilogy, I'm just looking at other fighters who are in wins. Again, we mentioned DDP, Jared Cannonier. He's already beaten Robert Whittaker. Again, that trilogy, I don't know if it needs to be done anytime soon. Izzy's up 2-0 pretty convincingly. Marvin Vettori, again, another trilogy. Sean Strickland's, I know a lot of people will call for it. He moves the needle in a very uncomfortable way for me, but I think that's a little, again, if Jurgis Duplessis is one win away, Strickland's at least one or two wins away from getting a shot at Izzy. And then Calvin Gastelum rematch would be fun, but I don't think you can give him one win in his past, what, five, six outings? I don't think you can do that. So I'd love to see it again someday if something happens. And Brendan Allen, listen, he's busy being the middleweightiest middleweight, so he's got his own title defense. So yeah, if he stays at 185, I think Pereira is the only option, or Jan Blachowicz if Jan can magically make the weight. For Alex Pereira, again, this is assuming they don't do the trilogy. He goes up to light heavyweight. Who does he fight up there, Mike? Who does he fight up there? There's a lot of there's some top 15 veteran guys you could throw him in there with. Some of these people are booked. Some of them are sort of tentatively booked. Like, I don't think you throw him in there with an Ankalaev. I don't think you necessarily throw him in there when Anthony Smith has a fight coming up. I don't necessarily care about him getting the winner of the Smith-Walker fight. Nikita Krylov. It's not setting my life on fire. But then I thought about it. Mike, there's a man at 205 who loves spoiling glory kickboxers, their chances of winning. There's a man. Why don't we have Alex Pereira move up 205 and his first fight be with the man who's beaten Carl Roberson, Dustin Jacoby, Gokhan Saki? Give me Alex Pereira versus Khalil Roundtree in a fight that will not last more than 2 minutes.
Wow. That would be fun as hell.
That's how you slow roll up. again, I Panetta's probably in his mindset now, like, oh, you know, I should be able to jump immediately into a title shot. But I again, there's options at 205. Again, you know, Jamal Hill's still up there. Yuri Prochazka is going to come back. I mentioned Nakalaev. We mentioned Błachowicz. These guys should be ahead of Panetta. So Panetta should have to fight someone, and you kind of do what you did with the middleweight. You just give him favorable, fun matchups. And one or two wins, set him up for a light heavyweight title shot against one of those guys, and you start with Roundtree. I love it.
Interesting idea. I don't think anybody would be mad at it. I don't think anybody would be mad at it. So, way to think outside the box, AK.
Yeah, let's go.
I like that idea. Let's move to the co-main event. Gilbert Burns defeats Jorge Masvidal. I said this during the post-fight show. Some people agreed. A lot of people were kind of unhappy with me for saying this, but I did not come away from that fight feeling like Gilbert Burns' stock rose at all. If at, like, maybe even dropped a tad in my eyes, because he was the biggest favorite on the card. I thought this fight would be more competitive than it was, and then I watched Masvidal fight for like the first 4 minutes, and I was just like, yeah, Masvidal is somewhat competitive in the first round, but this is not, he's not going to win this fight. Like, he just didn't, he's not the same guy. He was slowing down early in the first. He was pretty much not donezo, but did enough to survive. And I think Burns could have, if Burns really wanted to, I think Burns could have gotten him out of there in the third, or at least put the foot on the gas a little bit more. I know it's important to get a win and keep the train moving along, but it just would have been, we'd be talking about Gilbert a lot more if he put his foot on the gas. And he didn't do that. Wins a decision. It's not one we're ever going to go back and watch again. And then Gilbert Burns goes to the post-fight press conference, and he demands not only to be the backup fighter for the Leon Edwards-Colby Covington fight, which we're definitely going to get now, but he said that he's demanding to get the winner of that fight and a title shot next. And I just don't know if this man is in a position to demand such things, AK. And he even said something to the effect of, if you're not going to give me the title shot in my next fight, release me. Get me out of the contract. I'll be done and I will do other things, which I thought was kind of interesting. We don't hear Gilbert really talk about that. So I'll start with you, AK. Will Gilbert Burns get what he desires? I know Dana White said if he wants to be the backup, sure, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be next in line for the title. Is he playing this correctly? Will he get what he wants?
I don't know if he's playing correctly. I did love to hear that fire from Gilbert. I loved him. I thought post-fight, immediately in the cage and speaking to the media after, I thought, well done, well done. He should be at least attempting to make some demands. You need to be a squeaky wheel in the UFC. Dana White, you're right, was kind of half-heartedly, because it was you know, it was asked by them. It was asked by reporters after, and he was just, Dana White, he didn't say yes. He was just kind of like, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's what he wants. Okay, we'll do that. That did not make me give me a lot of confidence that he actually wants to do it, and that he's guaranteeing Gilbert Burns anything. So I will say, though, like, I did go chalk. This is kind of a magic wandy, but also I think it's possible. I do think he will at the very least be called up to be the backup for the London pay-per-view, wherever that lands, whatever date that lands on, I mean. Whether it'll be like Covington, he shows up, weighs in, and is guaranteed the next title shot, much less likely. Definitely sketchier. There's a lot of people who could slide in ahead of him. Shavkat, possibly Bilal, if assuming those two are fighting, and that hasn't become a thing yet. Quite yet. God help us, Stephen Thompson. I don't know if he could somehow leapfrog if he wins in his next fight, but it's not impossible. So he will be the backup. So I think this is like a half truth on Dana White's part. He will be the backup, but I don't think he gets the same kind of privilege that Colby Covington got. So that's where I went with it. I just want to see him be the backup and see where it goes from there. But I do think you're right. I don't know how much leverage he has. But I'm not sure if, and he may have to fight someone else first. So I'm not sure where you're going with that.
This was probably the toughest one for me because of what Gilbert had to say, because I could see a world where Dana is just incredibly petty about this. And it's like, all right, mofo, you want to show up here and talk a bunch of trash and say, release you. Okay. Bye bye. See ya. Like, they could do that. Or if they call Gilbert's bluff, I could see them giving him the backup spot. I don't see a world where Colby like misses weight or anything like that. So he's just going to sit and watch the title fight. Bilal Muhammad wants to fight Kamaru Usman. Dana actually seemed more interested in that idea than Gilbert getting a title shot. So if they go that route and they go Bilal versus Usman, who the hell is Gilbert going to fight? He's going to fight Shavkat Rakhmonov. He gets demoted to the Rakhmonov fight, and that ain't good for anybody. But at the end of the day, I just am not in a position where I feel comfortable booking Kamaru Usman in any fight right now. So I do ultimately think that cooler heads will prevail and that Gilbert Burns will fight Bilal Muhammad. I was hoping that Burns would get on the mic and just call for Bilal. I mean, if you go back and watch the watch party, we were like, it was like Gilbert turned into Bilal Muhammad in that moment. We're like, come on, man, just call out Bilal. He's right there. He's in the building. Like, this is perfect. And then he calls for Leon Edwards, and I was like, oh my God. And we just knew that he pissed away a call out like nobody's business. And I love Gilbert Burns, nice guy. He motivates me every morning with his tweets, just gets me all fired up and positive. But I think he fumbled the bag here. I think he had a miss, and I think he ends up getting a number one contender fight with Bilal Muhammad, but that's me thinking positively. There is a world where this goes really bad for him and he doesn't even get the Bilal fight. And he would either fight Shavkat or the UFC will just say, to hell with you. Goodbye. Like, we're just not going to, like, have you on the roster anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't think they miss him too much.
He has to be in the low six figures, probably, even show money, right? I don't think that's crazy, right? To imagine he's making, like, 100K to show.
He fought for the belt.
Because he's been around long. He fought for the belt, right? I feel like that moves him up a tax bracket. And the UFC doesn't need to pay people like that, frankly. They like Gilbert Burns.
Burns is good. Like Burns is a really good fighter. He's a really good fighter. He could go in there and fight Leon Edwards, and maybe he wins the belt. Like, I would have to think about how that fight's going to go. But he's not a star. He's not a pay-per-view generator or anything of that nature. He's a very solid hand, and he's pretty much in this. I think Bilal Muhammad is, right this moment, like a half a notch above Gilbert in the star department. That might not last long, but at least for the time being, I think Bilal's got a little more buzz than Gilbert does. So we'll see how this plays out. I think Gilbert could have handled this in a better way, but maybe it'll work out for him. We'll see.
What did you think of Bilal's Colby shirt, t-shirt?
I mean, he's got a gimmick going on. I dig it.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like when you have someone else's face on a shirt that you're wearing, I don't feel like you didn't own them. I almost feel like they owned you a little bit. I get what he's going for. It is an unflattering image of Colby Covington. I'm sure everyone saw it. You know, it's the Colby Covington, you know, his jaw busted up immediately after the first Usman fight. But damn, it's almost like the, you know, that's that cliche, living in your head, rent free and all that. So good for Bilal to show up. I think it's actually good that he showed up in Miami. I think that was the right call. I don't know if I'd go around wearing another man's face on my chest as some sort of like gotcha. I don't know if that works.
Yeah. I mean, he was going there anyways because he had a corner his teammate.
Right.
Ignacio Bahamondes. But yeah, I mean, it was fine. Let me ask you this before we move on. Do you prefer Bilal wearing the shirt with Colby's busted face or Mike Tyson wearing a Mike Tyson shirt?
Is that what my... I prefer the Mike Tyson thing then. I am all
wearing
for
his own shirt.
I would wear a shirt with my own face on the front. And I've always said I'm going to make a shirt someday. My own face, the front of my face on the front and the back of my head on the back. Just to really confuse people. So I'm all for self-branding and wearing your own stuff. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down, and new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Let's go to the featured bout. Rob Font reminded a lot of people that he's a bad mamma jamma. The New England cartel member just goes out there, and him and Adrian Yanez had a great fight. They beat the hell out of each other. Rob was busted up. He was landing. Yanez was on the back foot a few times, and then Rob just clocked him. Landed a double jab that had Yanez on skates, and then Font smelled blood, went in for the kill, and finished this man in the first round. And we were talking about this. You know how we sometimes always tease we're going to play the game about what we're going to nickname pay-per-views, and we never do it? Post-fight show, we came up with one. UFC 287, experience matters. And I think that was the perfect definition. Shout out to Shaheen Al-Shadi for putting that all together. But that was my biggest concern about this fight, is that Rob has just fought the who's who of this division. He's just fought way better competition. And he might have come in on back-to-back losses, but they were back-to-back losses to Jose Aldo and Marlon Vera, two of the best in the division. And Rob hung with both of those guys. Especially the Aldo fight. He was with him step for step. Got knocked down a couple times, but he's with him step for step. So that was the big thing for me. I just could not ignore the level of competition between these two guys. I didn't expect Rob to go out there and finish Adrian Yanez in the first round, but he did it, and what a massive win for him. And I'll just do a callback onto the next one pick from before. It's Piotr Jan. Rob Font versus Piotr Jan is the fight to make. If it was Adrian Yanez, it would have been Adrian Yanez versus Piotr Jan. Winner of this fight gets the Piotr Jan sweepstakes. Rob Font, come on down. AK, what say you?
That's a great matchup. I'd love to see Font and Jan throw down. It's a winnable fight for Font, for sure. Like you said, he can hang with the best. I'll talk about more of that in a sec. But first of all, experience matters. Tough to put on a poster. Not the sexiest name for a pay-per-view. If you really want to capture that mid-2000s magic of naming pay-per-views, this is UFC 287. Headstrong. Come on. Is he throwing it? That was the most shocking walkout music I have heard. I know that song very well. We're dating ourselves now, Mike, but I know that song very well. I was a teenager once, and when I heard it, I immediately recognized it, and I thought, like, is this the in-house DJ? Like, this isn't Izzy's music. This is like the DJ music still, or in-between music, and it's gonna be some crossover with, like, I don't know, Lady Gaga, like Let's Dance or something. Just Dance, excuse me. Please, don't kill me for that. But yeah, Headstrong. Listen, Trapped, a highly objectionable band character-wise. I'm not supporting it, but that song really took me back. So yeah, UFC 287, Headstrong, fits perfectly. I'm shocked that the UFC never got a chance to use it. Hopefully, retroactively, when they should put this on Fight Pass with Colin Headstrong next to it. Let's just make that happen. But yeah, Mike, you were on the money in the lead up to this Font Yanez fight as well. You said experience is a big thing. Like, you know, when you go five rounds with Jose Aldo, you can go five rounds with Marlon Vera. That means a lot, and it probably helps you a little bit more than, you know, a first round finish of Tony Kelly or a finish of Randy Costa, right? Again, great performances from Adrian Yanez, a guy I'm still super high on. I've called him the best boxer in MMA, any division. I think he's the best boxer. I still kind of stand by it, but one of his strengths is adaptation. I kind of nicknamed him the algorithm. And I don't think he really gave himself a chance. I don't think, actually, also Rob Font did not give him a chance. Rob Font got in his face met him punch for punch. They were exchanging hard jabs. Like, they were in the middle of exchanging hard jabs. And if you're a guy like Yanez, and I think you need a little time to sort of, like, assess the situation, that is not the best way to do it. You're not... Rob Font hits hard, man. You're not taking punches for him and just kind of shaking him off and, you know, downloading that data. That's knocking data out of your brain. And sure enough, Rob Font, awesome performance, takes Adrian Yanez out. I'm kind of lazy here. I just went with, we've got a Ricky Simone, Song Yadong fight coming up later this April, and I'd like giving him the winner of that. Mike, could Font have accidentally won the Umar sweepstakes?
No.
No?
You don't think this one solidified that? I think this one solidified that Marlon Vera won the Umar sweepstakes.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm going with April 22nd matchup, Simone Song, but a lot of good options for Font at 135. A lot of good options. I mean, the guy, again, and the guy has earned himself, again, another big fight.
And look, I'm not fully convinced that Merab is out of this conversation for Umar either, even though it seems pretty clear what we should be doing here. Let's go to the back to the welterweights. We had Kevin Holland versus Santiago Ponzinibbio. It was an interesting fight. Seemed like Ponzinibbio, I thought the second round was pretty close. Turned out all three judges scored the first two rounds for Holland. But it seemed like, in my eyes, I was like, Holland might have lost that round. Like, he might have lost round two, so he needs to go out there and do something impressive. And boy, did he. Knocks out Ponzinibbio, knocked him face first onto the mat, and Ponzinibbio was protesting the stoppage. That there's no protest to be had. Face hit the mat, follow-up shot left him still. Great stoppage, in my opinion. Kevin Holland gets it done. He was the focus of a lot of news this week when it came to Jorge Masvidal.
Was he? Why didn't any reporters ask about it, Mike?
Because, we don't have enough security, all this stuff. Kind of understood where Dana was coming from. I still think you can't just, like, shut that shit down like that, but you can't just be like, oh, come on, dude. No. Let it simmer for a minute. Let it simmer, Mike, for a second.
There was a little Colonel Jessup in there. There was a little Colonel Jessup, because he said his answer at the post-fight press conference was, you guys stir up drama. You guys create drama. Like, you guys say these things and the fighters hear it and then they start getting into, you know, trouble because of you, which didn't make a lot of sense because the incident that was, you know, asked about at the press conference happened the day before. So it was more of like a follow-up to that. So there was already stuff going down between Masvidal and Holland. That's not media generated.
Why didn't you say anything about Bilal Muhammad, who put it all in friggin' video for all of us to see in the fucking first place?
This is Colonel Jessup. We've got some misinformation. But the two orders thing was, one, he's saying these guys are grown men, but they can be influenced by the media to fight each other, apparently, I guess. Fine. Sure. And then later, the security thing you mentioned, he's like, oh, I wanted more security for Kevin Holland after the press conference, but he said no. So which one is it, Dana? Are they grown men who are easily influenced by the media, or are they grown men who can make their own decisions and cast off security? Why the two orders, Colonel? Why the two orders? You ordered the code red. So I didn't like that. I was very annoyed. I think you're right that he was almost getting to sort of a point that was accurate.
Almost. That's the thing. That's why I said I've kind of understood where he's coming from, because... Yeah, I hated the whole, I know you need your effing clicks and all that. No, that's not what it was about. It was a big story. Like, everybody was talking about it. So how can you not ask about it? Like, if Tom Brady showed up in New York and, you know, him and Mark Sanchez almost get into a fight and Mark Sanchez wasn't even playing that day. He was injured and the backup quarterback was supposed to start. You don't think anyone's going to ask Tom Brady or Bill Belichick about that incident? They will no sell the crap out of it, but it's going to be asked of them. Like, that's sports. That's what happens. So it was all very weird. But anyways, Kevin Holland wins the fight. No security. Just beat the UFC security team and Santiago Ponzinibbio in the same week. What's next?
I was really tempted to say Masvidal, because I don't think he ever said the word retire, Mike. I did not hear the word retire. There was the taking off of the gloves. There was the emotional speech. There was the, you know, I started my career here. Thank you, everyone. He never said the word. He actually didn't say I'm retiring, but pretty implicit. So that's fine. Also, this is MMA, by the way. So even if he had said the word, he could have said the word retirement like five times. I'd probably still be like, he'll come back for the right fight. I don't know if Holland's it, though. I don't know if that tickles his fancy. I don't know if the money... I don't know how much money that necessarily makes both men. Again, I don't think they're getting like pay-per-view points for it if they like co-main somewhere. And it also depends where it is. Like I said, this was the perfect send-off for Masvidal getting to be the co-headliner in Miami. 20 years between UFC cards in that city. And, you know, at least he didn't get knocked out. This might be one of the better ways to go. Didn't get knocked out, didn't get submitted. Sure, lost a lopsided decision, but... So assuming... he does not fight again and does not, and if he does come back, probably doesn't fight Kevin Holland, because again, who would want to watch that? No one, you know, there's no heat behind it, obviously. I decided to go between who is the better of two Neils, and we've talked about this a lot on to the next one. I still think there's smoke behind that Jeff Neil rematch for Kevin Holland. Of course, Holland defeated Neil back in January 2017, and it's come up multiple times on Otno. I think it's going to happen eventually. Why not next?
Okay. Don't hate it. I like it. I went a different direction. This one actually came to me immediately because it was obviously to me, it was a choice for me. If Masvidal loses and retires, then Masvidal is obviously off the table. So we will pivot to a fight that's coming up in a few weeks' time, a little over a month. I believe it's May 20th. I could be wrong. I think it's May 20th. Welterweight bout, a man that was scheduled to fight Kevin Holland on multiple occasions. Daniel Rodriguez is getting ready to fight Ian Machado Garry. And I think the winner of that fight will fight Kevin Holland next. If Ian Garry beats D-Rod, throw him in there with Kevin Holland. Boy, oh boy, is that an interesting matchup. So I think the winner of that wins the Kevin Holland sweepstakes, AK.
I love that. May 13th.
May 13th. There you go.
I love, my best friend, I love that. That's a great... for one thing, I think Daniel Rodriguez will beat... will beat Ian Machado Garry. Though I've counted Ian Machado Garry before. He stepped up pretty nicely. I do think this is where we kind of finally, he takes a little bit of a step back. No, and that's not because Ian Machado Garry is bad. I just think Daniel Rodriguez is that good. And I would love to see Daniel Rodriguez and Kevin Holland. So yeah, great matchmaking. Great win. Great win from Kevin Holland. You know, another one of those fighters, probably not the biggest fan of the guy personally, but he has been really compelling to watch at 170. And I don't know how many wins he needs, but it would not shock me if he just someday just gets the right matchups, puts on the right performances, and falls ass backwards into a title shot somehow.
And if he doesn't, who cares? He's the Derek Lewis of the welterweight division. It does not matter. It's people just like to see him. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with Kevin Holland. Now let's move to Christian Rodriguez, AK, kicks off the main card with an upset win over 18-year-old Raul Rosas Jr. We talked about hashtag headstrong, hashtag experience matters, and Christian Rodriguez showed that this was actually another easy pick for me, AK, at the end of the day, because I felt, how do we tie Christian Rodriguez into another fun storyline? I know. Let's put Christian Rodriguez, a guy who struggles to follow the rules with weight management, against a guy who struggles to follow the rules when the fight is actually happening. So, I have gone with Christian Rodriguez versus Cameron Simon, AK. Let's go. 135 pounds. I don't know if we're going to call it cheater versus cheater, but... I mean, listen, again, if you follow MMA Fighting's content... we don't frown upon cheating that much, especially in this sport, because nothing ever gets called or penalized, really, outside of a little chunk of the purse. But yeah, Christian Rodriguez, Cameron Simon, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, and we definitely, this is why you're the man. This, and we definitely don't criticize cheating when you win. Christian Rodriguez missed weight, won. Cameron Simon,
there you go.
Eye poking, groin kicking, fence grabbing the crap out of everybody. He's 2-0 in the UFC. What do you want? Yeah, that's a great matchup. That's good. You are the man. You are the man. I went with something. I was a little bit dispirited because this should have been an automatic. Like this was should have been Chris Curtis and Calvin Gastelum. I'm not that like bothered by it not being on the main card. I think getting featured as the last fight, they were the prelim closer. Yeah, the last fight on ESPN. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I bet a lot of people saw this fight. I bet Gastelum and Curtis got a lot of fans. Very likely to get paid the same way, whether they're the main card opener or the prelim closer. So that's not a huge deal. But this should have been an automatic us talking Gastelum Curtis, though we still might. But yeah, for Christian Rodriguez, I'm going boring. I'm going, I just went right to my rankings, and he's one spot behind Christian Quinones. So I'm going hashtag Christian on Christian. Two guys, very young in their careers, talent, super talented guys. Quinones, quite a bit more experienced, I will say, outside the UFC. But as far as UFC experience goes, just the three fights combined between them. So fun little fight there. I will say, I laughed at the... I don't want to put words in the mouths of Cormier and Joe Rogan. I believe one of them called Christian Rodriguez like a seasoned veteran or something. And he's certainly more experienced than Raul Rosas Jr. Not just in amount of fights. He had like one, two or three more fights, but the level of competition he's been at. He's been in a few more years. He's fought for Bellator, LFA, CFFC. I mean, he's just been fighting, I would say, better competition. Not like hugely better, but... calling him like a seasoned vet and saying like he was so much more experienced was just a little strange to me. So and we don't need to talk too much about the commentary on a UFC pay-per-view commentary. We harp on it all the time. John Anik, wonderful. Rogan and Cormier, you know, get better, guys. Get better. Just keep working on your craft.
Yeah, the one thing about the watch party is you don't really hear the commentary that much.
Oh, thank goodness.
You hear it a little bit because we have it on the headset. But there's so much going on. We're talking amongst ourselves that we don't really get to hear them too often. We were talking before we went live. I actually thought they were doing a pretty good job. Like, I thought they were calling fights good. I thought Rogan was more well-researched about certain things than he had been in the past. But I guess the main card did not deliver that same sentiment. So let's go to the wild card round, AK. We'll select one fighter we have not matchmade for yet, and we will matchmake for them right now. So... lots to choose from, AK. Who did we go with?
Like I said, I want to talk Gaslam Curtis. I'm going Gaslam, Mike. I'm going Gaslam. That was a great fight. That fight is just pure fun, man. I mean, I tweeted this. We forget how good Calvin Gaslam is, you know? And I don't want to call him out for the weight stuff. I don't want to say, oh, if he was just more disciplined, oh, he could so easily make 170. Because I don't know that. I don't know that. I'm sure he could make 170. I don't know if it'll ever be easy for him. He's a stout guy. Like, he is a wide, stout man. For sure, he could change his body type. I'm sure there's an ideal version of Calvin Gaslam at 170 that would just blow our minds. Like, we would, you know, like he goes away for a year, you know, goes in this crazy, you know, insane, changes his whole lifestyle and diet and looks like a different person. But if he doesn't want to do that, that's fine. That's a very difficult thing to do. He's turned 30, still a young guy, 31, excuse me, still a young guy. And if he wants to do that, that'd be great. But I just can't judge him. I would love if he could somehow comfortably make 170 because I think he's a contender down there. But boy, he's fun to watch when he gets going. Great striking, endless cardio, and Chris Curtis is right there with him. I love this fight, Mike. This is one of my favorite fights of the year so far. Yeah. I hope it lands in the top five by the end. I wasn't sure where to go with him, though. His first win in so long. So, again, I kind of went cheesy here, like I did for Font. Good looking at that April 22nd card. Fun fight with either Brad Tavares or Blindado Silva. They're fighting on that card. So one of those two I think would be great. Otherwise, it's a little bit hard to throw him in the top 15. I think people will be surprised how many top 15 people he's like already fought. Or it just doesn't make sense to fight them right now. So, yeah, I'm going with just another fun fight for Calvin. And if he's able to make it to the cage and put another great performance... I mean, the sky's the limit. He could still be something at 185.
I went kind of boring with this. I went a little off the board because there were other probably bigger storylines on the prelims. Could have went with Joe Pyfer. Could have went a different direction. But I decided to go with a guy I was pretty impressed by. Ignacio Bahamondes, AK. Just his patience, his striking, his ability. I know Joe Rogan was very impressed with Ignacio Bahamondes. Next level type of performance according to the podcast king right now. So I want to see more from him. I think he's pretty damn good. I'm not ready to chuck him into a top 15 matchup, but I feel like guys in Ignacio Bahamondes's position, when you are ready to see if you are a top 25 to 30 ish lightweight, you have to pass a certain test, and I'm ready to give him that test. The Nasrat Haqparast test. That is what I'm going with. He goes out there and beats Nasrat Haqparast. That's a win that probably vaults him into the top 25 or top 30-ish echelon. Bigger fights, bigger names, more interesting matchups. So let's step him up and see how he does. I'll throw him in there with Nazareth Hackbarass. Think it's a fun fight. Hackbarass looked pretty good in his last fight, so he seems to be on a nice little trajectory right now. So, yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll go that route. Kind of a boring pick, but that's what I went with.
All right. Yeah, I had to look. I was trying to see if he'd been booked. He was supposed to fight at 284, had an injury. I don't remember what that injury was, but that's a couple of months ago now. Again, we probably expect to see Bahamonde's in 2 or 3 months, 4 months. So timing could line up. Very, very solid test, Mike. I think we were very reasonable with our wild card picks this time around.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Nothing crazy.
All right, you want to do the disclaimer, AK? I'm going to rifle through my picks, go to you.
Sure, I guess
15 minutes here.
Yeah, I haven't really vetted these, so I'll have to rifle through as well. But yeah, listen, we've been a little skimpy with the Otno points, but that's because, again, we've had so many submissions these days. Very hard to get one, but if you're the only person who got a pick, then guess what? We'll get you your point. So, and feel free to nudge us. Feel free to nudge us and ask for it, because, again, our memories are not what they used to be. And please, guys, just try to pay attention. If a fighter's already been booked, if they're, you know, fighting a different weight class, if they've been released by the UFC, if they're close friends and teammates, you know, those things aren't going to happen. And please, just don't make your picks doo-doo, and we'll happily read them.
All right, so we're going to start with this one. Shay O'Toole had a different name, and I'm not going to read it. He tried to catch me off guard with this one.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
And I ain't going to do it, but nice try, Shay, or should I call you Zuck? I'll leave it at that. Yeah, the last name will make sense, but I'm not going to read it.
Oh,
well done. Nice try. He likes the run at it back with Adesanya Pereira, burns Shafkat Rakhmonov. Font versus, he's with you, the Simone Song Yudong winner,
sure.
Kevin Hall and Michael Chiesa. He's with me, Christian Rodriguez, Cameron Simon, Gastelum, Andre Muniz, Luana Pinheiro versus the loser of the Marina Rodriguez, Virna Jandaroba fight at UFC 288. Wow. Lupi Godinez versus Michelle Watterson Gomez, Ignacio Bahamondes versus Demir Hadzevich, Steve Garcia versus the Juliana Rosa Fernando Padilla winner, Sam Hughes versus the winner of Vanessa Demopoulos versus Carolina Kovalevich. What do you think of this one, AK? Joe Pyfer versus Chris Curtis.
Yeah. Oh, man, I can't believe we didn't have time to talk about Joe Pyfer, who looked fantastic. That we said that fight's either a first-round knockout for Pyfer or Gerald Meerschaert takes him in deep waters and pulls out a win. And we got the first-round knockout. So good for him. I think that's a bit of a step up. I think Chris Curtis, not easily, but I would certainly pick Chris Curtis to win. But yeah, if you just want to go match up guys who performed well on this card, yeah, Pyfer and Curtis, you could certainly do a lot worse than that. And by the way, Mike, great call on Sam Hughes. Did you pick her? You picked her, right?
I did not pick her.
Okay. But you said a lot of things that kind of played out that she was a really, really massive test for, someone with, just making their UFC debut
I said if Sam Hughes got out of the first round, she had a really good chance to win.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I did. I said the same thing about Gerald Meerschaert, and I pulled the trigger on Meerschaert as the dog and not Sam, which is hilarious.
But either way, I think both assessments were right. I think if Meerschaert had gotten out of the first round, very good chance he wins that fight. Sam Hughes did get out of the first round. She won the fight.
Yeah. Dad Jackson, Ignacio Bahamondes versus Mark Jacasey, Lupi versus Luana Pinheiro, Bodybags Pyfer versus Chidi and Jokowani, perhaps wanting to help Chidi slide out of the middleweight conversation.
Definitely would. Yeah.
Chris Curtis versus Nasruddin Imavov. Rodriguez versus Lawrence. Dad Jackson saying Rob Font won the Umar Nurmagomedov sweepstakes.
Oh.
Kevin Holland versus Gilbert Burns. All right. Robbie Ryan. This is actually the last one I got because I think people thought we were going live today. They have to do Adesanya versus Pereira 3. Burns versus Leon versus Colby winner. Surely. And Adesanya has just claimed KO of the year. It's the leading contender right now. Agree or disagree?
I have the memory of a goldfish, but I immediately went to add it to our sort of internal best of 2023 chat on MMA fighting. So it has to be up there. It's not a super long list so far. I mean, there's been some great KOs, but yeah, I mean, as far as championship level KOs...
It's the clubhouse leader for the year.
It's the clubhouse leader. That was pretty great. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I agree with that assessment totally. All right.
That's
Mike,
it, AK. It's on to you.
I don't have too many either. Our pal Tristan Cordette on email sending me Sam Hughes, Cheyenne Valismus, Steve Garcia, Sean Woodson. Gosh, Steve Garcia is fun. That guy's so fun. Kevin Holland versus Jack Della Maddalena. I don't love that right now. Gaslam versus Sean Strickland.
That's interesting.
Is it time for JDM? Did he not? So he doesn't have.
We're trying
a
to chuck
matchup.
Him in there with Vicente Luque. I think Colin makes sense.
Yeah, but I'd rather see a Luque fight. Gaslam, Sean Strickland, Shore, Lupe Godinez, Yasmin Haraghi. Instagram, MMA Heads. Welcome back, MMA Heads. Pretty prolific fight predictor normally, and has just been MMA for a while. So welcome back. Hope everything's okay. Adesanya Chimaev. Mike, how do you feel about that?
I need to see Chimaev win a fight at 185 first.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely
give him Paulo Costa. If he beats Paulo Costa, give him the title shot.
Let's see. Some of these have been read out. Burns versus Jeff Neal. Okay, yeah. Font, yeah. There's Font again. Song Simone. Skip some of these. Sorry, guy.
Burns versus Jeff Neal. Wow.
I, you know, hey, listen. What that's what you get for talking about walking out of the UFC, right? Pinheiro versus Dern Hill loser. Pfeiffer versus Junyoung Park. I feel like a lot of people picked that for after Pfeiffer's first win. And some of these we've read already. Thank you, MMA heads. Matt, is this Matt Bradbury, I believe? Matt Bradbury. Oh, again, always sending in great picks. Sorry, I lost my screen for a second. Sam Hughes, Cynthia Calvillo. I don't know if Cynthia Calvillo's going to... Mike, this has to be it for her, right?
It was a fun fight.
She didn't look bad at all. She did not look bad. She did not look bad.
No, she didn't look bad. She just it just took too long to get going. I thought she won the 30-27 card was Garbo. I thought Calvillo definitely won that third round, but it was a close fight. It was a close fight. Lupi
it was,
won.
It was a good one.
But yeah, I think Calvillo's probably done.
Gaslam Derek Brunson. Brunson is not retired, right? He had sort of a thank you tweet after his last loss, but I think it was just meant more as like on face value, right? Oh, just thank you everyone for supporting me. I'm doing fine. Like, and some people have read it as a retirement. I don't think he's retired.
Well, I mean, he said, like, thank you to anybody who has ever watched my fights ever in my life. I mean, it seemed like he was fishing for, like, responses to be like, oh, you're retired. Like, how do we feel about this? But he didn't actually say the word. So I think I don't think he's done.
I think he's done either.
I would say he is less done than Masvidal. Masvidal, I think, is done, at least in the UFC. Could we see Masvidal like go and box? Sure, but I don't think he's fighting in the UFC anymore.
If they ever run another Game Bread boxing event, he should definitely be on it. I mean, he didn't even show up for Game Bread Boxing 4, which was messed up. It'd be nice if he actually main evented the next card with his name on it. Rob Font versus Dominic Cruz. How you feel about that?
Oh, that's fun.
I
didn't love his call out. If there's one thing I will knock on Rob Font, I didn't love the Figgy Smalls call out. Wasn't a fan of it.
I mean, Figgy Smalls is fighting Cody Garbrandt, so
he is.
Why even waste the call out? David Cartwright, what's up, David Cartwright? A lot of the same picks we've read out. Yanez versus the Silence Behind the Violence, Jonathan Martinez. I considered this one as well.
Golly, that is fun. I love that fight.
I thought about it for Font, though, too. Maybe it makes more sense for Yanez right now. But Martinez on a, what, five-fight win streak?
Yeah, Font's going to be a top-five bantamweight. He's going to get a bump up in the rankings to the top-five after that performance. So, yeah, I don't think he'll be fighting TSTTV.
Christian Rodriguez versus Cody Garbrandt. Zero chance that fight happens. Calvin Gaslam, Paulo Costa, and Pfeiffer versus Andre Muniz. Have a great weekend. Thanks, David from Scotland. David, I don't know if we talked about this. You better be a Celtic supporter and not a Rangers supporter. Or
Boston.
Not those Celtics. I hate that I have to root for Celtic and people think, there's a chance that they think I'm rooting for the Boston Celtics, because that will never happen. And then quickly to Twitter, let's go. Krabs has one pick. Steve Garcia, Andre Feely. If Ryan Hall wasn't injured, I'd have had him too. Bunch of brothers in that zone with fights booked already, including your favorite, all caps, Juicy J. What else did we see? Toke, our pal Toke Gerding Jensen. I know you're not going to read on air. Can't be there for the live show. Joke's on you, Toke. We're not live. We are going to read it. He said I could steal these picks. No, I'll give you credit, sir. Poetan stays to make it a trilogy. If he goes up, he should face Jan. We talked about that. Burns has to fight Bilal. Another Font Figgy. Did he send you a message on? Am I reading out one you already just read?
No, that's a Rob called for. Rob called for Figgy.
Oh, Rob called for Figgy. I'm sorry. Oh, there you go. So I'm sorry. Toke Toka's down with that. Kevin Holland, Sean Brady. Time for Curtis to move down to welterweight and fight JDM. Amazing fight. I think Chris Curtis is loving life at 185, though.
Yeah, I thought we talked about this on the post-fight show, and Jed sold me on it completely. He goes, why would he do that? Like, welterweight's a way better division. Middleweight is not a good division, and he could just fight. Goes, if it's, you know, if it's the choice of fighting the Jack Della Maddalenas and the Vicente Luques and those guys, or fighting Jack Hermanson, you take the Jack Hermanson fight.
Yeah.
So I think middleweight's I think he's happier just being at middleweight.
And he just got an extra 50 G's for a fight of the night at 185. So not cutting weight, extra 50 grand at a weight class where his cardio is probably so much. I mean, he's good cardio at 170, but 185, probably fantastic. No issues, no cutting weight. He's loving life up there. I'd like to see it because I think there's good matchups, but if he says, if he never fights at welterweight again, I have no problem with it. Chris Curtis, live your life. Hayes with third. Adesanya Pereira, three. What else we got? I just don't want to read stuff we've already read out here. Font and Piotr Jan, sure. Christian Rodriguez, Ricky Tercios. Pretty Ricky, where are you, sir? Get out here and fight this man. Bahamandas vs. Ziam. Garcia versus Almeida, Dawoodu winner. Herman, I got just a couple more here. Herman, Gastelum versus Imavov. Maybe we can finally see this fight. I agree. Another Rodriguez-Tercios matchup. I like that. Holland versus Luque, Burns, Bilal, Adesanya, Hamza. People, come on. And Alex McAdam will close this out. Joe Pyfer, Joaquin Buckley. Love it. Banger. Michelle Watterson Gomez, Corey McKenna, Luana Pinheiro, Loma Lukbunmi. Okay, I like that. Yeah. Raul Rosas Jr. versus Brian Kelleher, win or lose, April 29th. No, we're going the wrong direction. He needs to hold less veteran, not one of the most veteran guys at 135. No, what are we doing? Holland, JDM, sure, again. Font, Piotr Jan. Gilbert Burns, Shavkat, Alex Padetta, Marvin Vettori. Okay. And Izzy and Khamzat. Mike, it's out there. People are just throwing Izzy Khamzat out there.
Look, if Izzy wants new challenges, Hamzat's a pretty damn good one. So,
jeez Louise.
It's probably, if you're not going to do the trilogy, Hamzat's the biggest fight. It's the biggest fight out there for him right now. So, wow.
People want it. Listen, people want it. Great picks, everyone, this week. Send in your picks to me on Twitter at Alexander K. Lee, on Instagram at Alexander K. Lee, and email me alex.lee@sbnation.com.
Yes. Instagram m_heckjr. Sorry for the late notice of the switch of format and all of that, but, next week will be easy because we're going to be doing a bunch of fight nights, so we'll be on the podcast network for those. UFC Kansas City going down next week. Pretty good card. Pretty solid offering here. We have obviously a great main event, Max Holloway versus Arnold Allen. We have Edson Barboza versus Billy Q. Dustin Jacoby versus Azamat Mirzakhanov. That is going to be an absolute wild firefight. Iwan Kuchalaba versus Tanner Bozer, a.k.a.
That's a weird fight.
Have you seen light heavyweight Tanner? Have you seen
no? And we talked about this for a long time. Like that, he looks
ridiculous. Like he is.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm looking it up right
going
now.
I think it's on his Twitter. It's ridiculous.
Keep going.
Yeah, Pedro Munhoz, Chris Gutierrez, Clay Guida, Rafa Garcia, T.J. Brown versus Bill Algeo, Brandon Royval. Trying to make it the year of the raw dog. Takes on Mateus Nicolau, Ed Herman, Zach Cummings, Pierre Rodriguez, Julian Robertson, Lando Venata, Daniel Zellhuber, Bruno Brazil versus Denise Gomez, Gaston Bolaños versus Aaron Phillips, and Jocelyn Edwards versus Lucy Pujolova. Did you see the photo, AK?
I did. He's got abs.
He's got abs. Dude looking shredded at 205.
That's wild. That's a good card.
Yeah, it's a very solid Fight Night card. It's one of the better Fight Night offerings for the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And we'll discuss the aftermath of that from a matchmaking perspective right here next week. So thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed all of our coverage. Shout out to Jose Youngs, our boots on the ground in Miami.
The man.
The myth and the legend. The man with the lilac hair. Mr. Jose Youngs. Incredible stuff. So back next week right here on the program. Always remember, don't take this stuff too seriously. MMA is supposed to be fun, and we will have lots of fun following UFC Kansas City right here on to the next one, the podcast.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more.
you can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.